Well done.
Case number 10,769, Seller Partnership, DBA Verizon Wireless, south of Briar Hook Road, 1/3 feet west of Hensley Road, a special use exception to place telecommunications monopole, a variance from the morning lights requirement that shall be placed every 50 feet of elevation.
Good evening, members of the board. John Tracy from Young, Conaway, Stargett, and Taylor here on behalf of the applicant this evening. Making their way towards the podium are Andrew Peterson, our RF engineer, Ken Farrell, our surveyor, and Sue Manchel, the site acquisition specialist.
Are they all going to testify, Mr. Tracy?
Probably safe to swear them in just to be in the
seat. When we have everybody come up, then we'll get sworn in at once. Name and address, sir.
Kenneth Farrell, 2215 Kimberton Road, Kimberton, Pennsylvania.
Ma'am?
Sue Manchel.
How do you spell it?
M-A-N-C-H-E-L.
Just for the...
433 Alderbrook Drive, Wayne, Pennsylvania.
And Andrew Peterson, 3230 Water Street Road, Collegeville, Pennsylvania.
S-O-H-N, right.
A great memory.
You all swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burrell. As the board is aware, this is an application seeking to construct a new telecommunications monopole and associated equipment shelter on a property located on Briar Hook Road. The proposed tower itself would be 145 feet tall, plus a 5-foot tall lightning rod, located approximately 2 miles northwest of the town of Seaford. I want to make one correction to our application. The application as submitted was requesting a variance from the lighting requirement of the Sussex County Code. We will not be pursuing that variance request, so we will be complying with the lighting requirements in the Sussex County Code. So all we're here for then is the special use exception for the tower itself. The special use exception is required because the tower is proposed to go on a residentially zoned parcel of land. It's a large over 80-acre parcel zoned AR in the midst of other large properties, as the aerial photograph I submitted shows, that are also zoned AR. No variances are being requested with this application. In addition to removing the request to be removed from the lighting requirement, we meet all street and side setbacks, and the tower does not exceed the minimum height provided by the code. Additionally, as you can see from that exhibit, and as we'll be discussing in a little bit, the tower is over 1,000 feet from any structure on neighboring properties. And I say structure because the closest two are actually not residences but outbuildings. As the board is aware, we are the holder of an FCC license, which gives us the right, privilege, and obligation to provide reliable cellular telephone coverage to our subscribers. Per the terms of the FCC license, Verizon Wireless is required to do this, and failure to do so could put the license in jeopardy. As times have evolved, as I'm sure the board is aware, more and more people beyond professionals and emergency personnel going to soccer moms and everybody else are relying on their cell phones. Indeed, you often have multiple cellular phones in one family, in addition to using them into cars with Bluetooth technology. Of course, more and more people are dropping their cellular coverage, their landline service at their homes for purposes of using cellular phones because the rates for both long-distance calls and local calls are much more favorable. Add to that fact, in addition, the text, data, and downloading capabilities that comes with today's phones, all of that builds to a stressor on the network as it is created. And when the demand continues to grow, it's incumbent upon Verizon to service that demand. As the use of cell phones have expanded and this requirement to provide reliable coverage is maintained, we become aware of gaps in coverage, which produce the dreaded "can you hear me now" effect. When we get to that situation, we are looking for ways in which to solve the problem. Ideally, we would love to co-locate on another structure. It costs in excess of $100,000 to construct a new cell phone monopole, so it obviously makes good sense to try to co-locate. But co-locate is not always an option, as you'll hear in a moment from our RF engineers. In fact, not an option for this property, as the exhibits that we submitted to the board show. There are no tall structures within 2 miles of the proposed tower. And in fact, the one that is closest to us, which I believe is to the southeast, we are already located on that tower. With the board's indulgence, I'd like to have Andrew Peterson come up and provide some testimony regarding the need for this facility. That's not a new funky kind of paper we have. That's what happens when you have to walk about a block without a cover to get from here to there.
I apologize for that. Andrew, is it correct that you did the RF analysis for Verizon Wireless?
That's correct.
And you are a licensed RF engineer?
I am.
RF being, of course, radio frequency.
Radio frequency, yes.
Okay.
Why don't you walk the board through what this first map shows?
Sure. Illustrated in a pink hue with raindrops all over it. Is Verizon Wireless's existing reliable service around the Seaford area. Illustrated with black dots numbered are the existing Verizon Wireless facilities. These are the monopoles, the lattice towers, the water tanks, et cetera, that currently Verizon is using as a elevated location for their antennas. They today comprise the wireless network in the area, and there is, as you can see, reliable service from those, which is illustrated with the pink hue. On the western portion of the exhibit is the subject area that is currently lacking that reliable service that Verizon is obligated to provide their customers with, and that is the intent of this facility is to address that inadequacy in the network.
Is it correct that the red triangle on that map represents the proposed location?
It does, and it's probably hard to see for you, but there is a red triangle here that represents that location.
And is this designed to essentially fill the gap that would be from west to Seaford all the way to the Maryland line?
It is.
Okay. And it's for both in-vehicle as well as in-home coverage, correct?
That's correct.
And the site would provide data, would provide phone, internet, and everything else that you would get through your typical handheld devices?
Yes, we would.
Okay, if you could flip to the map that shows what coverage would look like. And all of this is in the materials that we submitted, and I'm assuming that the board has all of this as well. If you could, Andrew, walk the board through what happens if we're able to get this facility.
If the facility is constructed as proposed, this would be future landscape of reliable service as predicted by propagation modeling software. You can see now that a vast majority of those areas that were previously illustrated white are now this bluish hue representing that reliable service. And it is a vast majority of the areas south of 18 and northwest of Seaford as you head towards the state border.
It's correct also, Andrew, that you performed an analysis to determine whether or not there were any suitable structures within a 2 mile radius?
I did.
Were there any such structures?
There were not.
And if you can recall, how close was the closest structure to that 2 mile search ring?
North of 3 miles. It's a lattice tower to the southeast that Verizon Wireless is currently located on. It's labeled 110 on the exhibit.
Okay, and is it correct, and I may have said this and I apologize, that this will provide better, will fill the gap of in-vehicle and in-building coverage in the area that is currently under or unserved?
It will.
Okay. Two other issues I want to go over that you provided to the board in the packet of materials. It's correct that you performed an emissions analysis for this new tower?
That's correct.
As the board is aware, we're obligated to demonstrate that we fall below the minimum thresholds established by the FCC for purposes of emissions. Mr. Peterson did submit a report. I'd like to have him put a little testimony on the record regarding that.
Okay. Sure. Using some very unrealistic worst-case assumptions,
for channelization and subscriber growth and antenna orientation and the location of a person near the facility. The uppermost limit would be in excess of 200 times below what the FCC considers safe. So if you could actually increase the amount of users of this tower by 200 times, you know, 200 Verizon Wirelesses could co-locate on this tower, structural concerns aside, only then would you be approaching the FCC's limits for electromagnetic exposure to humans. And this is under some very worst-case conditions.
Worst-case conditions, that would include everything turned on to its fullest extent, maximum usage of the tower with other co-locators and things of that nature.
That's correct.
And it's also correct that you were required to run this by the FAA to determine whether or not there was any interference or any sign-offs needed by the FAA on this?
I did, yes.
And what was the result of that?
The facility passes an FAA screening. It does not need to be lit as per FAA code. Sussex County has a separate code, and it does not need to be registered as per FAA code.
Okay. I have nothing further for Mr. Peterson unless the board does.
No members have any? No.
Okay, with that, in the board's indulgence, I'd like to bring Mr. Farrell up. That would not be Will Farrell. That would be his cousin, Kent. Equally funny, though. He just doesn't look like it. Ken, it's correct. You're with CMC Engineering?
Yes, I'm the manager of engineering services for CMC Engineering.
And you prepared the site plan that's before us?
Yes,
this
did.
Evening. If you could you just kind of walk the board very quickly through what the site plan shows? Maybe you want to flip to the closer picture if you have that with you.
Just to get them oriented.
Yeah.
To the top of the page is Briar Oak Road. To the east or to the right of the page would be Atlanta Road. To get you familiar with where we're at. In the very northeastern part of the corner of the property, we are proposing approximately 40 by 40 compound with the 145-foot cellular monopole. And the reason we placed it there is, as you can see, the round circle is the irrigation system. The irrigation system takes up most of the property. So we're only limited to certain places where we can actually place this. And we have a complying application by having it in the front corner, meeting the setbacks not only for the building structures, but also meeting the setbacks for the tower, which is one-third the tower height per your code.
And it's correct that this tower is designed to accommodate at least potential for two other co-locators?
That is correct.
Okay.
Normally, Verizon does do a larger compound, but in this case, because of size constraints, we have a smaller one. However, we do have enough for co-locators in this proposed compound.
And it's going to be fenced in accordance with Sussex County requirements as well?
That's correct.
Okay. You also prepared an aerial photograph exhibit for the board as well, and I wanted to just walk through that very briefly.
Unlike Andrew's, mine didn't get wet, but this is the aerial map, and you can see the closest structure to this, approximately 1,000 feet to the north, which is the farm structures, and then the residence, there's around 1,800 feet that way, almost 1,700 feet that way, and 2,000 feet to the more farm structures to the south. So there's really no adjacent parcels directly adjacent.
And then the one last one diagonally, we're about 1,200 feet from that farm structure as well?
1189.
So what I think the point of this for the board is, in addition to showing that this is in a largely rural area with not a lot of residential development around it, it's also in a location I think that the board would probably agree is most advantageous from a distance standpoint from other structures. We could move it to the western end of the property. You'll notice that there's another gap in the corner, but what you'll find is that puts it very close to the residences and just immediately off of that property. This location actually has it no closer than 1,000 feet from any structure and probably a good 1,500 to 1,600 feet before you're actually starting to talk about residential structures. Does the board have any questions for Ken?
Any member have any questions? No.
Okay. Lastly, is the board...
That's it. You get a chance when they're done.
Yeah. I have a whole bunch of questions. But...
Okay, I'll recognize you, sir, when they're finished. You have a chance.
Lastly, as the board has been reminding the applicants to this evening, there are legal standards that apply to this application. In this instance, much like the one that you heard a couple applications without the variance that was advertised but which we're not seeking, this is only needs a special use exception, which deals with no substantially adverse effect on uses adjacent or neighboring property. It's our position, I think the testimony has shown, that there is no adverse effect on neighboring property. We've located the tower in a isolated corner of the property, far away from neighboring structures. Indeed, most residences are probably at least a quarter mile away from this. As the board is well aware, these towers don't do anything but sit there. They don't make any noise. They don't tax county services. They don't generate school students or anything of that nature. So we recognize, of course, that people don't necessarily like the way they look. I would posit that what you've seen on this is about the most innocuous look that you could have for these types of structures. I don't think anybody here would agree that a fake tree or anything like that in this particular area would be particularly beneficial. Additionally, the structure is less imposing than the old lattice towers, which we've seen in particular areas. So with that, we'd be happy to answer any questions that the board might have.
Are there any questions from the members of the board?
No, sir.
No, sir. Not at this time.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Okay, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? One?
Okay. You're consistent. Nothing else.
You've been all night. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Okay, would you like to come up and be sworn in? Okay, if you would please. All those that would like to testify, you come, like for all of you to come up now to be sworn in.
All of you.
Okay. Ma'am? Whoever's going to speak, come on up now.
He's down, do it. I need you all at one time.
Wait, I'll maybe it's up here. Well, go ahead, give me your name, name and address.
Randall Handy, 4751 Briarhook Road.
Okay, sir.
Richard Miller, 14 Ross Station Road, 23162 Ross Station Road.
Ma'am, same
Dorothy
address.
Miller, yes.
Your name? I'm sorry.
Dorothy.
Okay. Three of you swear or affirm testimony about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Whoever wants to go first.
Okay.
You want to go first, doctor?
Okay. Gentlemen.
Good evening, sir.
Good morning. Oh, I say morning now.
It's getting close.
I have a question on a couple of the points that the gentleman made. I live about, the map's not there anymore, but I live about 1,500 or 1,800 feet to the west of where this tower is proposed, at the corner of my farm. And I have a cell phone. My wife has a cell phone. I have two data cards that I use with the computers that I have at home. And I've been in that location 40 years. I've had cell phones for at least the last 15 years at that location. And I question the necessity for the tower because I have never had a problem with connection or service at that point. I'm not saying that nobody else has, but I have not. The most of the English law in this country is based on a premise called the reasonable man premise. And there is pretty easy to figure out that if you ask the reasonable man whether he would like to have this tower located anywhere near his residence, he would say no. This tower is going to be located on Briarhook Road, which is certainly within, it's in the Wesley Church community, which I grew up in, and has not changed hardly at all in the 45 years since I left that property. where I grew up, which is not very far from here. And that particular road is pretty unique in the sense that to the north, there was a 350-acre farm owned by Allen's Hatchery, and to the south, there are two farms, one of which Mr. Miller owns, and the second one, the larger one, is owned by Dale Figgs, who happens to be my father's cousin's son. So I have no axe to grind with Dale whatsoever. So my premise is that there is no necessity for this tower at that location. Number two, you're putting it in an area where there is damage to the aesthetics of the area. And number three, there are lots of other areas that Mr. Figgs could locate this tower, which would be basically invisible from the public roadway. I can go over here in a second. Dale owns this whole property down here. I'm not sure how far it goes, but I think it goes down to this road. So this thing could be located back here, or certainly in an area that would not be visible. But what it will require is an access road. It's going to cost somebody some money. But the tower itself could be made much less obtrusive than where it is right now. So my basic reason for being here is that I don't want to have to ride by this tower 2 to 4 times a day when it is necessary. The other main point is Delaware Electric Co-op just installed new power lines along that road for 3-phase power. Now, I don't know what the engineer can tell me how far that tower is going to be from the road to Fire Hook Road right away. But if that tower were to fall, not only would it potentially fall across the road, but more importantly, it's going to fall into that 3-phase power line. It's going to cause a big problem. So, those are my thoughts.
Mr. Handy, what do you have Verizon cell phones?
I have Verizon. I have had for a long time.
Okay. Do you farm property? Is that what you do for a living?
Well, no, I don't. I don't personally farm. I'm in real estate business. But this, my farm is right here.
Okay.
And so, I go out this way.
And I'm sorry, you said you don't farm. What is it you do?
I don't know. It is farm, but I don't personally do it. No.
What do you do? You said what you did?
I'm sorry?
You said, when I asked you if you farmed, you said you did something. What is it you do for a living?
What type of work do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah.
I'm a commercial real estate broker.
Okay, that's what Mr. Mills is.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
So do you have a professional opinion as to whether or not it will substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties?
Yes, I do. And I can certainly make that opinion available. I am, coincidentally, have been retained to testify on the AT&T tower that's being proposed in Bethany in, I guess, a couple, 3 weeks. Which at that point I will be preparing a detailed report. I didn't know about this until Sunday afternoon when Dick stopped at my house. That's not, the notification was in the newspaper, I assume, but the signage was not there. The signs notifying public hearing for maybe 2 weeks were on a road about a mile away.
Really?
Dick could probably tell you. Are you locating that picture, Dick?
I've got it here somewhere.
Yeah. Anyhow, it's to the, looking at this picture, it's to the upper left-hand corner about a half a mile off the corner, off the picture itself. So it was, the sign was misplaced totally. So in that sense, this hearing should be invalidated for that reason alone.
What the inspector did, I think she posted on Owl's Nest Road, because it's a through, and that was on 2-3. On 2-8, she reposted it at the site for her pictures.
Right.
So was posted.
At the site?
Yes.
No, but it's only been posted there for a short time.
Well, I know, but she posted on Owl's Nest Road on 2-3, and then 2-08, she reposted it where it should have been. It's a through lot. She just didn't understand.
5 days later, she hit it.
No. Yes. Mm-hmm. Ma'am, I disagree. That was not anywhere near this property.
I'm not gonna. But here's.
Dick can testify this as well. But
oh yeah.
Anyhow, that's my input tonight.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Next.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
My name is Richard Miller. I'm here to represent Mr. Vonnette. As you look in this paper, thing right here. This is Mr. Vonnette's property. This is west. This is east. Every day the sun goes down, that is going to cast a shadow right on that man's property, which is totally not right. Okay? I read in the paper where the people at the beach, when they walk the beach, they don't even want to see the beautiful windmills. And then we've got to look at that stinking tower all the time. Now that's so close to Mr. Von Ness' property. Plus the fact I haven't heard of how many they know how many feet it is to this and how many feet it is to that, Verizon does, but they don't know how many feet it is to the road. Okay? Now, they show this irrigation here. Now, this irrigation shows a perfectly round circle, which is not the real story. The real story is that's a corner irrigation, and you can adjust that to do anything that you want to do. Okay? All you got to do is put that little wire in the ground, and that little corner will go right around and do anything you want to do. It's terrible that they put a tower in a good piece of ground like that, he's going to have to adjust that a little bit, but that's how they're showing it. And then what they really need to do is find a place like they did down here, and I don't know whose tower it is, but they did a nice job on a tower right here in Cokesbury, and I went by it 2 or 3 times before I even seen it. And that's what we need here. We don't need, as the one thing Verizon did say, Verizon said that there's no tall structures nearby. They're right on that. But what in the world putting a cluttered up piece of junk do for that piece of property? And we're supposed to make America look beautiful. Their job is to try to go out here and help the people out, but they need to work on it a little bit. They need to find a place where they can put it in a wooded area and hide this thing a little bit so it looks a little blending a little bit better than being right on some other man's property where it's going to cast a shadow every night. That's not right. Another thing is, these people, I didn't start working on this until this weekend. And when I went to all the people down the road, nobody knew anything about it. And if you read this letter that came out, the people that did know anything about it said it was going to be down the other end, all the way down to Hemsley's Road. And I said, well, what about that sign up there? Well, they never even seen that little sign up there. They stuck it way back off the road so it couldn't be seen. It wasn't seen very well. Not only that, there's a little curve in that road right there, and people kind of got to keep your eye on what you're doing there. Another thing is that it wasn't a very good place to pull off. It's kind of soft there, It's either been soft when it's been decent, but it's when it's cold and people are not going to get out and notice this sign. The sign wasn't put out there in time for this to be totally recognized, and the people didn't even know it was there. Now, it's kind of hard to get people here on a 2 days' notice. I did get a letter from one person today, and I left it with that, Mr. McCabe. I've got some pictures here where there's woods nearby. They can stick it in a patch of woods, and that's what they need to do. They need to get it off the road, and so it's not an eyesore to everybody. And nobody, Mr. Figgs got 400 acres here. Mr. Figgs puts his land in farm preservation. He's already done it over in Maryland, and he's looking forward to putting it here. But you can't sell this. You can't sell any property off near here. Nobody's gonna buy that property to build a house on. Nobody. You're not gonna build a house right there next to that stinking cell tower. That cell tower is gonna be there for a long, long time. I've got some more pictures here. And it shows different areas and everything else. And the north, which is north, east, southwest, it's about, I guess, 2 or 3 tenths of a mile from Atlanta Road, but it would be an eyesore from Atlanta Road because it's not that far away. Like these gentlemen said, the only thing they said that was right to me was there's nothing nearby, and they're right about that. But there's no need. We don't need nothing to go out here to be an eyesore. These guys are going to put that tower up, and they're going to pack their bags up and leave it for us to look at. And I don't think it's right.
Okay.
Any questions?
Any questions from members of the board?
Now, I will say this much. If this don't get turned down today, I want to be held that they got to come out there and go out there and have another hearing on it because of that sign not being posted at the right spot. Okay. They owe us that much.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's your dog.
That's my puppy.
Okay.
You gotta have your puppy in there.
Gentlemen, can I ask one other question? Can somebody tell me how far that tower is?
Excuse me, Mr. Handy.
Excuse me,
sir.
They said everything except the how far it's gonna be off the road.
You need to come back if you want to talk. You need to come back up front.
We'll
come up.
That's all right. We know the question. We'll ask the applicant the question.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll get it. We'll get an answer.
So you going to get them the answer?
We'll get an answer.
Thank you.
Okay. Now.
But the there was one other person.
Yeah, that the lady. Then I'll come back to you, Mr. Hannon. Let's get this lady up here.
I'm Dottie Miller, and I've been taking care of Mr. Bonnet now for over 15 years. It will devalue his land. You don't put up a tower like that and not devalue it, even his farmland. I'm sorry, I'm an old country girl. I enjoy looking at my farmland. I like corn better than I do towers, and that's pretty much how it rolls. I would have been a lot happier if more information had been given out on the basis that some people were talked to and they were told that the tower was going down in the area of Hensley Road. Then they came back and they said it wasn't going there because it would cost too much for electricity. Well, considering the cost of a cell tower, I don't think a few feet of electricity running it back further to a wooded area, which originally the people on the road thought that's where it was going. Really, hope you will consider the fact we're a country, we like the area. As long as Mr. Von Ed is breathing, I can guarantee not going to be anything there. He loves his country. He loves his farm. And please take into consideration of what we are and why we are what we are. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay.
Thank you. What I'd like to do with the board's indulgence is to bring Mr. Farrell up to address a couple of questions that were raised, and then Mr. Peterson to address a question that was raised.
Okay.
Ken, if you could flip back to the site plan, one of the questions is how far this is from the right-of-way and from the road itself. We had mentioned that we weren't seeking any variances from the county's requirements, but if we could put on the record what the location is.
This is the enlarged site plan. You can see the tower to the right-of-way line is 60 feet. It's approximately 15 additional feet to the road. It's approximately setback 75 feet from the edge of the road. You can see our tower setback, our one-third tower setback, so we are in compliance with your ordinance.
And then, Ken, a second question that was raised that I think you're able to testify to. There's, I think, a common misperception that if one of these things were to fall, it tends to fall like a tree, and I don't think that's accurate.
They don't fall like bowling pins. They're designed with mechanisms that collapse upon themselves. So if you had a wind shear that was going to take this, the top half would collapse. It's not going to fall over until the wind shear would stop. But again, you're designing these, but you can't prove a negative because there's never really been one that has fallen over or collapsed like that.
There's a guarantee it won't fall under.
Mr. Handy, you don't get to talk now, sir. They've got the floor.
So, being set back 75 feet from the edge of the road, if there was to be a wind shear, it's not going to fall over like a bowling pin. It'll collapse. The tops will collapse, and then it'll collapse again in itself. So it's a safe structure. They're designed to be safe structures.
And then, correct me if I'm wrong, one other thing. There's been some discussion about the shadow that will be cast. Correct me if I'm wrong, but at the base of the tower, this is a diameter of maybe 4 to 5 feet?
That's correct. It's about 4 to 5 feet at the bottom.
And then it narrows as you get to the top?
2 to 3 feet at the top.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Farrell?
No.
Okay. Mr. Peterson, if you could come up. If you could talk to the board a little bit more, there were some questions regarding necessity. If you could put a little bit more testimony on the record with regard to what reliable service is and what the necessity for this particular location is.
Sure. I believe it was the first neighbor who was opposing who made the statement that they have reliable service, so they are a reliable customer. You'll notice on the propagation exhibit that the location of the proposed facility is on this fringe area. It's not very proximate to the existing facility, but it's not 5 miles away. It's roughly 3 miles away or so. So when he makes that statement that he has reliable service today, or seems to have reliable service, doesn't drop calls, I fully believe him. However, it's important for board to recognize that the coverage objective of this facility isn't the ground immediately below it or the neighbors immediately adjacent to it. It's a pretty substantial swath of land, probably, if I had to estimate, 15 or so square miles or more to the west and north, all the way to the state line. And I can assure you that there is no reliable service out on 18 and in some of these other areas that are bounded by 18 and 20 on the north and south. And that's really the design objective of this facility. That's kind of my first point on the need. The second point is that although service in the immediate area may be okay today, with the phenomenon that we're seeing of this unbelievable data growth, what happens is the noise floor rises on the network, which will actually serve to shrink the footprint of the site. And as this data usage and growth continues, we're seeing a trend now that during the busy hours where these sites are typically used the most, you know, during the morning drive and the evening drive and during business hours, you actually see these cells breathing where the coverage footprint actually shrinks because of the noise rise. And as that trend continues, which it's fully expected to, the effective coverage footprint of these sites is going to continue to shrink. So
an area now that may have adequate service is going to lack that adequate service in a couple of years. And what Verizon Wireless is proactively doing is trying to get ahead of that. They want to keep their subscribers happy. They want to maintain that number one customer, best network out there that they've worked so hard to establish. So they want to proactively address these things.
Okay.
Mr. Peterson, in a very rural area with, it would appear, very little traffic, what's the necessity of having coverage in that area?
Well, it's, the site that serves this area, it's important also to mention, also serves the town of Seaview. So as that data growth continues to drive the development of these new sites, areas like Seaford are a perfect example of this, whereas when it was only voice that the carriers were concerned with providing, you could get a large area covered and you didn't have that cell shrinkage, you didn't have this unbelievable amount of usage. Mm-hmm. But with the advent of data and all the services that brings along with it, a town like Seaford that could be covered fairly well with a site to the north and a site to the south, all the resources of those two sites are now being sucked up by the town itself, leaving the outskirts of the area in the very near future with no service at all. More to your point, in Aurora area, it is really the voice service as people travel these roads. And along with that are the emergency services implications. If someone's up on 18 and is in an accident and needs to make a 911 call, they need to have that voice coverage in order to do so and connect to the 911 dispatch. Today, that just couldn't happen because there's no service out there.
I recall from previous cell tower request that there, correct me if I'm wrong, a government requirement of some sort, that some kind of coverage or something?
Yeah, there are government requirements that licensees build out their networks within a certain timeline. And it all depends on when the license was granted, and there's some complicated rules around it, but it is a requirement that the providers, in order to keep their licenses, build out their networks and provide adequate service to the...
And that would be adequate service in the areas which they're licensed to cover, correct?
That's correct.
And the area that we're currently showing no adequate service is one of those areas we're licensed to cover.
So what you're suggesting is, in time, all the white areas will have towers in them or be required by law?
A good example is this white area that you see kind of more central to the exhibit. Verizon Wireless is currently in the process of co-locating on an existing tower in that area. So yes, the exhibit that you're looking at tonight, I can't speak for Delaware ubiquitously or any area as a whole, but this exhibit, over the next couple of years, depending on how long things take and how things go, the goal is to have that ubiquitous coverage throughout the area.
You say goal, but there's not a government requirement of any type.
There are government requirements around it. I don't know exactly what they are. I know that there's a mandate that 66% of population be covered within 15 years of a license grantor or grant, I should say. For cellular licenses, I believe there are a little bit different rules when it comes to the PCS licenses, and things get a little bit more complicated from there. But there are government rules around that.
And it's, if I can just interject for a second, Mr. Mills, it's also correct that the goal of this facility is to serve Delaware customers. That is, there's another arm of Verizon Wireless that's responsible for the Maryland side of the equation. So this is not designed to fill the gaps on the other side. This is really designed to fill out and build out the western part of the network in this area. And correct me if I'm wrong also, Andrew, that Verizon becomes aware of these areas because they get customer calls, they get data complaints that there are no services, which then leads Verizon to go out and investigate a particular area to determine whether it's time to build a facility in that area, correct?
That's correct. That's one of the ways that Verizon identifies problems in the network is through feedback from its customers.
Sir,
I'd just like to point out that as of a couple of years ago, greater than 50% of 911 calls were initiated from mobile devices. I think that number has climbed over the last couple of years. I don't know what it is now, but I can assure you it's greater than 50%. That's an important side note.
Did you ever look in the main, in the statesman, they said, you ever look, going to the back of the lot? Did you ever look at that site at all? Consider that?
We were working with the landowner, and Ms. Menchel can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but we were trying to find a location that would not interfere with the ongoing farming operations on the property. In addition to running whatever would need to go back there, which would include an access road and include electric, we would have to tear up a significant portion of the property, which is an active farm, for purposes of doing that. Locating it at this area in the front, as the aerial photograph shows, not only do we have great distance from all of the surrounding structures, but we're in an area where we're not causing any interference to the active farming operations, which is something that we wanted to do, particularly as was testified to earlier, if the landowner is thinking of putting the property into ag land preservation. The board is probably aware that the state statute governing ag land preservation was amended in 2004 to allow these facilities to go on preserved land. But one of the things that the ag land folks look to see, I know this because I'm going through this on a couple other properties, they obviously want to see minimal interference with the ongoing farming operations. And obviously tucking it into that corner, while I fully recognize it may not be something that Mr. Miller likes, I think the board can agree from looking at the exhibit, it's the least impactful location for that structure.
Well, not necessarily, because he suggested that the irrigation can travel and adapt to whatever obstruction.
Well, it's partly that, but then it's also partly into you're causing more disturbance to the property to actually get the location back there. You're going to need an access road, and Verizon's been on properties where they've had long access roads. It's not that they won't do it, obviously. It's just that that's going to cause more interference with the ongoing operation, and this is the location that the landlord thought would be the least impactful for everyone.
What other properties, if any, were offered or considered?
I can have Ms. Menchel testify to that. She did. I do know that the person across the street was contacted directly north. They didn't have any objection to the proposal, correct?
Now I'm talking to, and you can come up. What is this the only property that you folks approached as far as placing a tower? Did you talk to other property owners? Did you have other offerings? Or?
Yes. I talked to two other property owners, Mr. Cooper, and I think Mr. Esterson, which is right down the road.
Okay.
Also, I talked to Mr. Allen across the street as well.
Were there any wooded properties or less obvious?
Less, right.
Any wooded properties?
No,
or properties?
No, they're all farmland. They were all farmland.
Well, I see a lot of trees around there. I didn't know.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Thank you.
Ma'am, I couldn't hear who you say you talked to.
Mr. Cooper.
There's also something I'd want to put on the record. We don't know this from an analysis standpoint, but there are some wooded properties in the area. Obviously, some of those wooded properties you can see are closer to the residential houses. The other part is wooded properties can often also have wetlands and things of that nature within them, which pose their own set of problems, as the board, I'm sure, is well aware from a development standpoint and a disturbance standpoint. Again, we didn't get to the point of physically looking at those properties. Again, as Ms. Menchel said, the ones that she talked to were not particularly wooded in that regard, but that would be an additional concern looking at those properties. Happy to answer any more questions if you all have any.
On the irrigation system, here Mr. Miller did say that about the tailing system, what it's called. It's not that easy to change that. I understand that. I mean, you think it is, but it's not. He can lose quite a bit more ground when he does change that.
Which may have been why, again, he was looking for a location like that.
Yeah, might be one of the reasons why. But there's no other place in the back that he owns his woodland. She said,
I don't think there was. I mean, he again.
There's wood on. There shows woodland on those pictures I showed you. I've got pictures showing there's woodland.
Yeah, there is.
There might be some woodlands in the corner back there, but again, you're talking about going through the bulk of the property to actually get there and okay. build the facility. I don't know how it works from a coverage standpoint. We didn't analyze that because, again, he was looking for a non-disturbance situation in the front without having to cut through the whole property.
This is where he wants it at, right there.
Where he wants it at.
This is where he wants it at, right?
Well, this is where, yeah, this is the site that it makes the most sense because it does not interfere with things, and again, it doesn't cause a disturbance to the ongoing farming operations. It's one that makes sense also. Also, as Mr. Peterson testified from an RF standpoint.
Okay. All right, sir.
I worked for Verizon for 45 years. I serviced, yes. I serviced these facilities that for these towers. Now, what I was listening to a few minutes ago was a bunch of grapes, and the grapes went to like this here. Grapes went to wine because they said, "Oh, look here," said, "we need another cell tower because this is getting all saturated." Well, what did they do when Seaford grew when they had line service? They went out and put more lines in. All you got to do is add some more facilities to that tower in Seaford, and they won't have that clutter, okay? That's number one.
Maybe it's on the other board.
Maybe it's on this one here.
What sheet is it?
Here's where they want to put it. Now, on another map, they'll show you where it came all over here and everything else. This is not the only place in the world they can put that cell tower. They can move it this way and get a whole lot more coverage out of it. All they've got to do, if they're worried about having it, is add facilities to this. They can move that away. Look how far this one here is away. Look how far that one here is away. Look how far these here are away. You see how close these here are? Why can't they move it over here and they get a whole lot more area over there? They done said that at 404, they weren't getting no coverage at all. Move it over here. Mr. Fix is not the only farmer in the world or only place in the world they can put that thing. Besides that, Esterson's, she said that she looked at Mr. Esterson's, and Mr. Esterson told me by himself that they told him they couldn't put it there because it would cost too much to put the electric back to it. Mm-hmm. You call Mr. Esterson, see, he won't say the same thing. Said, well, they got disinterested in it when they found out how much it was going to cost. Thank you.
Okay. Last one, Mr. Handy. Come on.
We could have probably argued all day about how what the probability of this tower going down and how we go down by a car or a cow or who the hell knows. But there is, however it goes down, there's no reason that tower has to be that close to the road in any case. Mm-hmm. Another 50 or 100 feet is not going to make a hell of a lot of difference from the standpoint of the tower falling. But the point I want to make is that there are, as just alluded to, there are a lot more places to put this tower where it will not bring people like me out of the woodwork. I mean, and this is something they have to do. The fact that it's going to cost them more money to locate it at the back of that farm or in some other spot, that's just a tough deal. That's just the way it is. They have to live with those costs. Now, this gentleman who was supposed to be the RF engineer to make these studies, he stood here and said he doesn't know what the government regulations are exactly. Didn't sound right to me. He should know exactly what they are. And should be able to spout them off at a moment's notice.
I don't think that's the engineer's obligation to know the federal law. He's got a job to do, and it's just to...
I disagree. I think he, when it comes to the justification for a tower location, he does need to know.
No, he doesn't, Mr. Handy. He doesn't need to know the law.
Yeah.
He's called for a specific purpose, and he does that. And we don't pretend that everybody knows what the federal law says.
Yeah. Anyhow, that's my final comments, and I hope that the board will disallow this application for several reasons, not the least of which is the notice mislocation of the sign, which is a blatant violation of the regulations, and secondly, to require that they do a lot more study as to alternate locations on the western side of Seaver. They owe it to the consuming public, and they owe it to the property owners who are going to be affected. And thanks a lot. Listen.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Mr. Cowley, if I could, just no new testimony, but to respond to two statements that were made on the last go-round. This is not new. I wanted to have Mr. Peterson respond to two specific things that were raised. One, there was the question about, for lack of a better word, turning up in the facilities in Seaford, if you could explain why that doesn't work.
Number one, adding any additional resources to the facility in Seaford would in no way address the vast coverage issue that 20 square miles or so that I spoke to earlier. So, you know, and that is the main objective of this facility, is to address that coverage issue out towards the state line. The second part of that is that it's not just that easy to add additional resources. Now, that may work in the landline world, but in the wireless world, Verizon Wireless is very much limited by the spectrum that they're allocated by the FCC. They certainly don't have limitless spectrum. They are licensed for very specific portions of the radio frequency spectrum that they can use to transmit and receive their signals on. And once they use what they're licensed for, that's it. So, the notion that they can simply add resources just isn't factual. What they do in order to leverage those resources is they reuse them. It's one of the basic concepts in radio frequency design is frequency reuse. You use the frequencies in one area, and you skip a couple tiers, and you use them again. That way you're leveraging those resources to the very best of your ability, because they aren't limitless, as maybe was implied.
And then the second question that was raised, what is the effect? We're talking, it had been suggested, I think Mr. Workman had suggested, looking at the wooded portions down to the bottom of the aerial photographs. So you're talking about shifting the tower probably between 3,000 and 4,000 feet, so half a mile to two-thirds of a mile. What's the impact of that on the coverage area?
Right. The coverage objective is generally to the northwest of the facility. So every foot that you move it to the south, the coverage footprint will move along with it to the south. It very much, the coverage emanates from the facility in 360 degrees or so around it. So as you move that facility to the south a half a mile, that coverage footprint will move along with it, and those areas that we're trying to cover to the north and west of the facility are now going to remain uncovered, and Verizon Wireless will be here before you again to add another facility up there in those areas that remain uncovered. So it's an inefficient use of resources.
So is this one tower going to cover all the coverage you need to the north, or the next...
Roughly to 18 or so.
So you're not going to have to put another one up?
Well, north of 18, I imagine at some point.
So if you move this one back, it's not going to, if you moved it back this 3,000 feet, what type of impact is it going to have?
I'd say we'll be
able to put another one up, though, right? In time.
I don't know that for sure. And as far as I know, there are no active applications to put one up there. But I know where you're going with it, but north of 18,
right.
let's just say we put this where it's proposed.
Okay.
Then we can put the next one let's say, 3 miles north of 18, right?
Right.
Or so. If we now move this a half a mile south, that next one north of 18 now can only be 2.5 miles north of 18 or so.
Okay.
Right? And right on down the line till somewhere you're going to have that half mile gap. Now you can keep pushing it up through Delaware and push it, you know, you can push it so. But it's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. You move one piece down a half a mile, some other piece is going to have to fill it at some point.
Right.
So where's that additional tower going
to
be?
And the net effect of that, Mr. Calloway, is you end up with more tower applications. The goal is to try to have as few of these as possible. As we indicated, most of the ones that you see there, Verizon's co-located on other structures. That's obviously the goal.
Right.
We all know as we go up to the west and to the north, there aren't a lot of those types of structures defined for purposes, which is why we might. But right now, there is no plan for something up there. The application before you is the one to fill this particular gap. We haven't been alerted to or haven't been asked to go look at a gap.
So then, whether this one then is the 60 feet or the 3,000 feet up, it's not going to do what you want it to do then, completely.
If we move it, yeah, particularly if you're talking moving it a half a mile or three quarters of a mile down into the property, it ends up not covering the gap, which could potentially have us come here for again for another facility. But again, this location here obviates the need for that.
So, Mr. Peterson, what you're saying, I guess what you're saying, or correct me if I'm wrong, to move it north and west would be, for example, I believe Mr. Miller said the Esterson property that was a little more expensive, it would actually serve that area better to move it north and west a half a mile or quarter mile?
I don't know that the Esterson property was more expensive. I don't know that any
right.
of that is that the Esterson property never came to me for evaluation. So I don't.
Gotcha.
Well, let's ask it this way
know.
Then: if you were how far, in your opinion, how far northwest could you move the tower, and without leaving a gap in your coverage?
Well,
ideally, approximately.
Let me just back up a second because this is very. It's a lot of speculative questions, and I think it's important to realize that, you know, in a textbook, when you learn about our radio frequency design, the sites are spaced evenly apart on a grid, and it's the most efficient way, you know, in a honeycomb shaped pattern, it's the most efficient way to design a network. And when there's a congested area, you split that honeycomb into equidistant further grids and split it further, but that's not the real world. And as the design engineer, I'm constrained by the real world, the realities of leasing and zoning a facility. So I can only evaluate the facilities that are leasable. So if it's a site that's leasable, where the landlord is willing to get into a lease agreement with Verizon, then I can evaluate. Otherwise, it's so to ask, okay, how many properties to the northwest or how far northwest? It's interesting conversation. However, it's kind of irrelevant in my opinion because that property wasn't available.
Well, I was just curious because Mr. Miller suggested that otherwise it was available.
But if it wasn't presented to you, then you can't really make, you know, like you're, so you're saying, but if a property's not presented to you, then you can't make an opinion on it. So how can they say that it, you don't know if it would be good or if it won't give us the coverage then?
You wouldn't. In other words, if you weren't able to do the study from that particular location, then you wouldn't be certain. Is that correct?
I wouldn't be certain as to how it would perform.
As certain as to whether it would be better coverage or not.
That's correct. I couldn't tell you that I've evaluated if I hadn't.
Okay.
I think the other part just to know is the Esterson property, just for purposes of discussion, is in an area where there are a lot more residential properties in and around it, which again was one of the goals here, is an area where there's not a lot of residential properties immediately adjacent when we're trying to look at the code standard of minimizing the impact. An area where you're talking thousands or more feet to the nearest structures is a pretty minimal impact as opposed to perhaps an area where there's more residences immediately in the area. It extends these meetings longer than this one's already been, as the board I'm sure is eminently familiar with.
Okay.
Doesn't Verizon pick the point at anyway, right?
What's that?
The Verizon picked their point at where they need this tower.
Verizon generates a search ring, and then you go out and look for properties within the search ring.
Yeah. And this is the area that you come up with right there.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So that's where you need that coverage at.
Correct. It was motivated by the search ring. Once you were aware of a gap, a search ring is generated, and you go out and you try to find properties in that area.
Gap.
Yep.
Okay.
In the search ring. The search ring is smaller than the gap because the idea is to get the most optimum coverage that you can. So you have a fairly narrow area that you're looking for in order to get the most benefit in terms of coverage.
So that's how this came up right here?
Correct. This wasn't just randomly driving on the road and saying, I think a cell phone tower would look good here. It was generated by gaps in coverage followed by a search ring saying, here's the area that we need to find something in.
Okay.
Man, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank
you. Alrighty.
Okay. Got a question?
No. We've had enough, sir. Honestly, we've been back and forth and back and forth with this.
Please allow me. I won't take but a few minutes of your time. I realize you people have got a tough job, but I'm telling you, these boys are selling you a bill of goods. First he comes out and says, now that is the perfect place for that tower. Now all of a sudden they can't move it anyplace else. That's the perfect place for that tower. That is bull. I'm telling you, he's selling a bunch of goods. He knows it and I know it.
Hey,
don't look at me like that.
Hey, Mr.
Yes.
You do not address anyone in that crowd.
I'm sorry, but I'll tell you what. I'm not much for smoke and mirrors. You go start blowing smoke and mirrors, you got a problem with me. I'm sorry. But I'll tell you what. These guys... I understand you guys don't know as much about this stuff as I do, but you're doing the best you can. But believe me, this is not the only place they can put that tower. They've got places they can change them things up. It's just like a radio tower. One day they can move that radio tower and move it around so that it'll take in all of Bethany Beach and all and Salisbury, or they can change it and move it around so it picks up in Georgetown. But that's the way it is. But they're not telling you the whole truth. And that's just long and short of it.
Okay, that's it, gentlemen. Okay.
Chairman, I would like to say we have two letters in opposition.
Two letters in opposition?
True.
Okay, can
from
you?
From John and Catherine Mikowski, we are against the cell tower being put up on Briarhook Road. We did not get a letter about the cell tower, and the letter we saw on Saturday afternoon said it was going up on Hensley Road, which is not true. Once again, we are against the our cell tower going up on Briarhook Road, and nobody in our development got a letter.
Okay.
This one's from Julie Rigby. She wrote, I would like to submit the following questions concerning the exception to the county's rule that a Verizon Wireless tower to be placed on Briarhook Road in Seaford be required to have warning lights every 50 feet. I see nothing in the file that indicates why Verizon wants the exemption. Why do they? In what ways will the tower's lack of lights affect the crop dusters and fly early in the morning? It was the lights, but they're no longer needing the variance.
Okay.
That was the concern.
Okay.
Okay. A couple of questions. Okay. Rick or Susan, either one. On the sign.
Yeah.
Are we legal on that sign?
Well, can you confirm?
I did. It is here.
I think she already.
Confirmed it.
It don't have to be so many days or anything. Right.
Now, if you see the map, this is a through lot. It's one big parcel.
Okay.
And she posted it on Road 555, which is Owl's Nest Road or whatever.
Yes.
And then she realized what she did.
She did wrong.
And she went back to Briarhook 5 days later and posted it on Briarhook Road.
So still had the days you're supposed to be posted, right?
Yes, it's fine.
Okay, it's fine.
I'll double check that before the
say,
I believe that's still.
Okay.
It'd be good to make sure in that we have a similar situation in Bethany.
Definitely.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had the same thing.
Same thing down there.
But it was posted on the property, just
in a different, yes.
But a different end of it or
right.
Side of it,
yes.
Or something.
Okay.
So appreciate that, to be sure.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me?
Are you saying that the sign was properly located?
Well, we're going to look into it.
They're going to check into that.
The inspector, yes.
Okay. Gentlemen, I'll be terribly open for motion.
Chairman, I make a motion that we table case number 10,769 till
the March 28th meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there's a lot to consider.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
You have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Workman that we will table case number 10,769 until our March 28th meeting. allow everyone time to digest all this information that has been presented tonight. Okay. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion so carried. The case will be tabled until March the 28th. Okay.
Whew. Okay, case.